praise team, brother. Thank you very much for leading us to worship today. I want to continue our series this morning on the end of the world, you might want to say. And here in Matthew chapter 24 is the Lord's final message to the church, which in reality is the beginning to eternity that we as believers understand it. Because when God calls us home, when he calls us to be with him, then our real world begins. This time that we're here is only for a short period of time. Because even if we live to be 90 years old, Brother Noble, it's only just the beginning when it's compared to eternity. Because eternity goes on and on and on forever and forevermore. And so I encourage you today that as we go through this series, that we understand what it is, basically, to be ready to go. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, and we'll look at verses 9 through 14. Jesus said, "Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offered, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come." May God's blessing be upon his word to our hearts and spirits. The beginning of sorrows that I spoke of last Sunday morning, talking about birth pains that this world will feel before the rapture comes. And of course, it will feel a lot during the great tribulations. One thing you'll notice, if you look at Revelation chapter 4 and 1, up into that period of time, there is conversation. Matter of fact, there is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to the seven churches of the world. But when you look at Revelation chapter 4, 1, there is something significant that happens. It says, "After this I looked," that's John talking, "and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come thither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." Up until this point in time, again, the interaction between the Spirit of God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the church is obvious. But after chapter 4, there's something missing. There is no mention of the church until you see it in the 12th chapter of Revelation. And there the saints of God are singing praises around the throne room of God. So what happens? What happened to the church? Why is it not mentioned, and why do we hear Jesus addressing the seven churches here on this earth, and then all of a sudden we don't see the church again until the 12th chapter of Revelation, and they're not on the earth anymore, they're in heaven around the throne room. Well, we know that as a church that we call the rapture, or the gathering of away. You see, when the rapture takes place, the Holy Spirit, who resides in you and I as Christians, will leave this old world with us. Satan may have a person already picked out, or he may pick out somebody when the time comes. But I believe that the devil has always had in grooming someone to be the job of the Antichrist. You see, because when the rapture takes place, that's when Satan will set up his unholy kingdom. And the Antichrist and the false prophet will come in this world and set up their, quote, kingdom. So we'll see the world change like it's never before. Now, when I say we'll see, I don't mean you and I here on this earth, because once again, I don't believe we'll be here. The first thing that he must do in the midst of the hysteria. Now, church, I believe the rapture will be a real event. I really, really believe that people will be taken in a moment. I believe that there is going to be a catching away. There will be a calling away when the trump of God sounds. Those that have put their trust, that believe in Jesus Christ, will be taken out of this earth. And what a shock that it will be to the world. Now, I know there's a lot of people today that would wish that you and I, as believers, as Christians, would be gone anyway. They almost have an animosity for us. They don't like us because of what you represent. You represent the moral standard, a balance in this world. You represent what Jesus said and what we're supposed to live like. They don't like that because they want to do their own thing. They want to live their own way. And because of the church and because of your stand and what you mean, they don't like it. Now, they'll tell you don't shove your religion down their throats. How many times have we not heard that? But what's amazing is they don't mind shoving their beliefs down our throats. Just a big difference. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote to the church about this time. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, he says this, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." That's talking about the Antichrist. And that one falling away, he's talking about a great apostasy. In other words, when the time is coming for the rapture. Remember, God gives us, church, signs. And that's really basically what I'm talking about these last couple Sundays. Sundays I gave you some clues about the earth and what it will go through prior to the coming of the Lord. It says about pestilence, that's disease. And like never before, we're seeing new kind of diseases that we've never seen before. All right, that's a sign. Earthquakes, it's amazing that God chose that as being a sign, but it is. And I shared with you from the National Geological Society, the number of earthquakes have increased exponentially in the last 20 to 30 years. That's a sign, church. There are other signs that God gives us. First of all, he says that there'll be a great falling away. Now, we see that. We see that in our midst. We see that a lot of people who once went to church no longer go to church anymore. Why? Because that's a sign. Because there'll be a great falling away. People will believe that church is no longer relevant to them in their life. That they don't need God. They don't need Bible. They don't need all this structural things. But it is God who established this entity, his church. Okay? So there are certain things that we don't have to reason about. God's word just simply puts it that way. Then in verse 4, 2 Thessalonians 2, it says, "Who opposeth and exalted himself above all that is called God," that's the Antichrist, "and or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." So the Antichrist will one day, during the tribulation, about mid-part, about 3.5 years, as we understand the great tribulation, there'll be 3.5 years of peace, seemingly. Yet there'll be a lot of persecution going on. There'll be a lot of things going on in the shadows. But it's during this time the Antichrist will be setting up his kingdom. Because at the end of about 3.5 years, he will then establish, see, he'll have enough of the following. He will have killed or put into hiding those people that will believe in Jesus after the rapture. And we know that it will cost them their lives. Right now, it doesn't cost you your life unless you live in certain areas of the world. So Christians, we get kind of comfy. We get kind of separated from what's really happening around the world because we live in America. For right now, our religious freedom are protected and we have basic freedom to worship. But there are other parts of the country, a lot of the Islamic countries, that if you're a Christian, it can cost you your life. So for them, after the rapture and the Antichrist comes to power, to give up your life for your belief will not be any different to them, but it will be for some that live in this country. And so Jesus, through Paul, is addressing the time of the Antichrist. Now he goes on, verse 5. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, this is Paul talking to the church at Thessalonica, I told you these things. And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. In other words, the power of Satan, as we well know, evil is already working this earth. But there is something that Paul is referring to that is holding back the implication of the Antichrist and his power. There's something holding back. We'll find out that. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. Now, when do we know that taking away is going to take place? The rapture. It's when Jesus calls the church home. It is in that time, he that holdeth back, you church, you hold back evil. I hope you know that. Because of your presence, because of your life, because of your testimony, because of who is within you, because the Holy Spirit of God dwells in every believer, you are resistance to the moving of evil. But what will happen one day, church, when you are taken away, evil will ascend on this earth like never before. Now, the rapture is the next event in God's prophetic timetable. Nothing else needs to happen, church. Okay? Nothing. When you look at our world, you look at the system, you look at the internet, you look at all the other things, computer technology, everything that Satan needs to set up his kingdom and control mankind internationally is already here. The technology is here. There is nothing, there is no other prophecy that needs to be fulfilled that would hinder the Antichrist from coming down. That there are some signs, some more signs that I just want to bring out to you because they're in the news that will signal the return of Christ. Here are two. Number one is worldwide anti-Semitism or anti-Israel. We see that on our political stage today. There are some folks that hold seats in Congress that are anti-Semitic, that do not like Israel, does not care that they even exist, and yet they're in seats of power and their voice is being heard. But that isn't just here in America, it is all over the world. There are so many people that are against the little people of Israel. That's a sign. Church, I want you to know that. That's a sign for you to be aware of. The second sign is worldwide chaos that's spoken of in God's world. Let me give you some statistics real quickly. Since the 1960, when the United States officially kicked God out of our public school system, now it's gotten worse. You know, when I was reminiscing with someone, we were talking about when I was in elementary school, up until about fourth, fifth grade, our teachers began the day with a word of prayer and some scripture. It was just common. I'm talking about public schools. I mean, we would just pray. We would read the Bible. We would memorize. Matter of fact, the 23rd Psalm and the Lord's Prayer and some other things were just kind of common things that we were a part of our curriculum, you might want to say. But in 1960, the Supreme Court ruled that interfered with the, quote, separation of state. Of course, I know all of you here realize that that is not a part of the Declaration of Independence. Matter of fact, there is no document other than recently court rulings that have said anything about there to be a separation of state. Thomas Jefferson, writing to the Baptist Association in Virginia, is the one that used that terminology, there ought to be a separation of church and state. Now, let me clarify that in the fact that what that meant is that the government would never have any influence or impact on the church. Never were there any intentions of any founding fathers that the church would stay out of the government. And I've shared this with you before, that in many of the charters of states, and for people, individuals, to hold position, senators, Congress, representatives, judges, whatever, that it actually states that those individuals must be Christians. Now, they don't like to talk about it. As a matter of fact, a lot of those laws in many, many, many states are still on the books, believe it or not, even though they don't obey them. So church, when we have an individual come up and say that this is no longer a Christian nation, that is false. The foundation is totally based upon the Word of God. But we will see great dissent, which we already see today, in the oppression and persecution of the church prior to the rapture. Now, the Jews are the ones being addressed in Matthew chapter 24. There's just something about their culture. It's always a very beautiful thing that I thought is interesting, and that is when a couple is to be married, they would embark on an engagement period. Now, this period toward the end, this couple who spent over, usually, these things were set by the families. All you young people, I hate to say that to you, but usually the mom and dad are the ones that negotiated for your husband. But in more liberal Jewish communities, they did let the young man and young lady request who they'd like to be married to. But if the father and the bride's father got together and decided that there was somebody better that they thought their daughter or son would have, then they would take care of that for you, okay? But what I thought was interesting was that the groom and bride would separate from this engagement period where they would get to know each other, when they would work on establishing their home, oftentimes building their home. A lot of times it was just an add-on several rooms to the family's home because property was very expensive. And to begin with, it cost a lot of money, like it does today. Now, I'm not encouraging that our sons and daughters move in with us, mom and dad. That's not what I'm saying, even though some of them are. But in those days, that was a common thing. But what happened was that on that day of their marriage, it was something special. It was traditional. We hear of it in the 10 virgins. Talks about the marriage, but it was common that the bride would not see the husband for a while. And so he would surprise her during the night at some time. A lot of times early in the morning because the big wedding party would begin. And her job was, ladies, to be ready, to be prepared. She was to stay up. So it could have been a very sleepless night for a bride to be because she was waiting for her future husband to come in the early mornings and call out to her to come to the bridal ceremony or the wedding ceremony. Now, that's exactly the picture that we are painted here for the church. And another thing I thought was interesting, that it was the father of the husband to be that would tell his son when he was to leave to go get his bride. We see a lot of similarities because Jesus said only the Father knows when that time will be. You see, because it is the Father, our Heavenly Father, that sends his Son, Jesus Christ, at the right time, at his time, to come and get his bride, which are you and I. And that event is called the rapture. Now, my second main point is were we able, oh yeah, very good. As I titled Get Right for the Flight, all right? Get right, because that's what the rapture is. It's flying time. It's takeoff time. It's the launching pad of we believers. It is the day when gravity will no longer hold us. It's when we are changed into our heavenly space suits, you might want to say. And we will take off from this world. Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, verse 42 to 44. Here's the instructions, church. Watch therefore, For ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. You don't know when the groom is coming for us, the bride. Verse 43, but know this, that if the groomman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now, the disciples asked the Lord, based on this statement, when they could expect the end of the world to come. And I read that to you last Sunday, but let me read it to you again, back up in verse 3 of chapter 24. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world? And Jesus tells them that many things must transpire. And I won't read all of those, but let me read to you verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So all these people that try to predict the time and the season of the coming of the Lord, they're not reading the scriptures, okay? I can only tell you that it's very soon. Just like I shared last Sunday, the birth pains are there. Ladies, you know, when you're ready to present your child to this good old world, there are signs that take place in your body that let you know that that baby is about ready to come. And so Jesus uses those comparisons, and Paul does also, to teach us that there are signs. So signs are important. What they tell us is get ready, be prepared, be watchful, because Jesus is coming soon. We don't know the hour or the time, but he's coming. Church, I don't know the hour, but I know that it's soon because the signs are there. Listen, you don't go into labor, ladies, when you're not pregnant, do you? Or hopefully you don't. You don't go into labor unless there's something terribly wrong in your first trimester. No, normally, if everything goes right, appropriately, you go into labor when you're ready to deliver. Well, that's what Jesus is trying to tell us. That when all these things in the world begin to take place, get ready because I'm coming. Now, he uses an illustration in verse 37, but as in the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Well, what's that? Verse 38 says, for in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So what Jesus is saying, listen, life's going to go on. There's going to be signs. To those in Noah's day, it was that crazy prophet, that crazy man, building a big old boat. That was their sign. It was an obvious sign. It was a physical sign. In church, as in the days of Noah, the Lord is wanting us to know here this morning that he's given you physical signs. You just need to know what to look for. And you need to compare them with history. We have never had as many earthquakes as we have had in recent history, in the last decade. As a matter of fact, every year they increase substantially more and more and more. Okay, that's the ark, folks. That would be like the world standing. But some people don't even draw a comparison. How about pestilence? How about diseases? They are running rampant without cure. Things that we had a cure to years ago are mutating. Pestilence. Look at the sign, church. Now's not the time to go to sleep. Now's the time to be ready. And of these events that will take place, as we look into the eternal picture, we see that the rapture needs to be talked about. We need to be ready. We need some good old hellfire and brimstone. You say, Pastor, are you trying to scare me? If I thought that could get you into heaven, absolutely I would. Because let me share with you some things about the rapture. Number one, it will be sudden. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 51, Paul writes to the church. He says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." In other words, we're not all going to be dead when the rapture comes. "But we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." The Bible says that the rapture will take place in a twinkling of an eye. I've shared this with you before. Kodak Company did a study on what is a wink of the eye, twinkling of the eye, and that's 1/1000th of a second. That is a nanomoment. All right? It will happen that fast. Now, what is the warning in that is that, listen to me, friend, very carefully, there will be no time in that 1/1000th of a second for you to get it right. There's a lot of people say, "Well, listen, I'm going to get saved one day. I'm going to get right with the Lord one day. I'm going to get my act together one day." I'm here to tell you something. Because more than likely, if that's your attitude, you're not looking at the signs. You're not observing the birth pains. And so therefore, you're not ready. And when the activity happens, it'll be too late. You say, "Well, listen, when I see my mama or my dad or my loved one start ascending into the air, man, I'm going to cry out in that moment, 'Lord Jesus, save me.'" Well, let me say something to you. You couldn't even order or utter a vow in 1/1000th of a second. It's not going to be a prolonged thing like the pictures show us, where we're going to be able to see people come up out of the grave and see our loved ones or whatever begin to ascend through the air. It's not going to happen in slow motion. 1/1000th of a second. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 1 says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day shall bring." Paul says again, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 2, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation have I suborned thee," or begged thee, "behold, now is acceptable time, behold, now is the day of salvation." Church, let me remind you that no matter how much information that we put out in this church, no matter how many things that Miss Joe puts into bulletins, no matter how many activities that she puts the day and the time and the event and what's going to take place, there is nowhere in this bulletin, because Miss Joe doesn't know when Jesus is going to come back again. The only way to prepare for those events is to be ready right now. I mean right now, because church, before you walk out these doors, the rapture could take place. I've told you that it will be sudden, and it will happen that way. Number two, the rapture will be solemn. Luke chapter 17, verse 34, 36. "I tell you that in the night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left." Listen to me. That doesn't mean that if if Kathy and Charles is together driving in the car, Kathy will be taken and Charles left. That's not what the Bible is saying here. Because both of them are going to be gone. Because I know their hearts. What the Bible has given us is that in some situations, that will occur. For that wife that is saved, that's been after her husband to get saved, what the Bible is saying, when the rapture happens, she's going to be gone. He's going to be left behind. Maybe you're at work. Maybe you're flying an airplane, and the pilot is saved, and the co-pilot is a sinner. Guess what's going to happen? The pilot's going to be gone. God forbid, and it will happen, that both of those pilots are saved. Both of them's going to be gone. Guess what's going to happen? All those sinners in that airplane are going to die in a fiery crash. Now, we don't have to worry about the Christians because they're leaving at the same time. You hear what I'm saying? And what I'm trying to say to you, imagine for a moment the chaos that is going to pursue that moment. And it will be the Antichrist that will come and bring peace to that situation. Oh, they'll explain it away. You know, we're into the UFOs, right? Matter of fact, there's about, I don't know how many thousand people has signed a petition that they're going to raid Area 51 because they're going to see the aliens in the spacecraft. So they figured the government can't have enough soldiers in there that have thousands and thousands of UFO people out there are going to massively raid Area 51. Well, guess what? There'll be a lot of people thinking they want to raid the church. They're going to try and find church people. There are going to be people looking for you, but you're not going to be there. That's why the rapture is going to be a solemn time. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ is continuing church for you to be here so we can reach as many people. It'll be solemn because there'll be a lot of people left. Number three, it will be shocking. It will be a shocking event. Matthew chapter 7, verse 20, beginning verse 21, says, not everyone that saith, now listen, this has always been a shocking statement, but Jesus explains, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we not cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, Jesus talking, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. Now there's a lot of people that are expecting to go to heaven because of what this scripture brings up, because of their good works. That's the point that Jesus is trying to make. There's a lot of people that proclaim to be good. They proclaim even to be Christians. But they have never truly made the Lord Jesus Christ Lord of their lives. You know why? Because they're still doing evil things. They still sin like they sinned before they, quote, said they got saved. They go to the same hangouts. They talk the same language. They think upon the same things. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but let me just say to you, you're not saved if you do that. If there is no difference in the life, once you said you accepted Jesus as your Lord, in the life that you are continuing to live, then you need to really, really get saved. Because when you're saved, the Bible says that you are a new creation. You're new, folks. There ought to be a difference in your life. It ought to be a difference in the way you think. Why? Because now the Holy Spirit of God inhabits you. Not that you're perfect when you get saved, but we strive toward holiness. And that's what's wrong with the church today. We think that God should accept us just the way we are. And he does at salvation. But we think that we can just go on living any way we want to, and it's up to God to deal with it. Well, that's not true. Church, if you really have accepted Jesus, then you will want to live a different way. And there will be people that will be left behind in the rapture that will be shocked because they said, Lord, Lord. And they thought because they did good things that they ought to get to heaven. But that's not true. Not only will it be sudden, it will be solemn, it will be shocking. It will be satisfying. There's going to be a great reunion, folks. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I read this many times at funerals. But it's so good right here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you be ignorant, Paul talking, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. In other words, those that have died. That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. That means when he goes to heaven. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Miss Camille Miss Linda, that we will be having a memorial service for. They have already gone on to be with the Lord. But what Jesus is saying through Paul here is that when that day comes, they're going to be gathered up too. In other words, their bodies will be resurrected. It will be glorified. Their body that was put in the ground will be changed in 1/1,000 of a second also. And just because you're alive is not going to hinder them, because the Bible says the dead in Christ will rise first. Well, people say, well, why is that? Well, first of all, we got 6-foot advantage on them. How about all those people that have been buried at sea? What about all those people in the eons of time that have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord? What about them that are in the ground, that their body has already turned to dust? Well, guess what? All of that stuff's going to come together. Just because you can't see the atoms that once were, those atoms never die, folks. They're always there in the ground, even though the bones and the flesh and the sinew are no longer around. God knows exactly where every person that have put their trust in Him, He knows exactly where they are. In that rapture, that's why there's a lot of sound going on. And that event will take place, and then, as they rise, we which are alive and remain, you and I, are going to be caught up. That's people say, well, you don't ever see the word rapture. Well, that catching away is another Greek word for rapture, that's all. We can say catching away, or we can say rapture. People get hung up on that word. Well, show me in the Bible. Well, okay, how about getting caught away? Getting caught up together. We use those words. I had to ask my daughter, because I kept hearing it. People kept saying, well, that I watch those car shows, and they said, man, that car is really dope. I said, Gabriel, what's dope mean? What's dope mean? She said, that means, in your language, that means it's cool, Dad. I said, okay, thank you. Thank you. So see how words can change, but they mean the same thing. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. So we see those things. There's a shout. There's a trump. There's the voice of the archangel. All these things are going to signal the return of Christ. Verse 17, then when we are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever, that's eternity, be with the Lord. And so Paul says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Loved ones, saints, listen, there is a time when this mortal body will put on immortality. There is a time when this corruptible body will be putting on incorruption. That simply means that we'll never die. That's when the Lord said, those that believe on me shall never die. That's what He's talking about. Folks, eternity means you'll never die. There's no cemeteries. There's no marker stones. There's no places like that in heaven. Why? Because there's no death. There's no hospitals. All you nurses, medical people, there's no hospitals. Because there's no sickness. There's no illness. That means when we're in heaven, we'll never lose another one again. We'll never lose a loved one, a mom, a dad, ever again. And then finally, it will be sad. It will be sad. Why sad? Because maybe someone that is sitting here this very Sunday morning may not be ready to meet Jesus. If Jesus were to come right now, before I finish the closing, you would never have another opportunity to be saved like this again. Yes, I understand that during the great tribulation there will be people that will be saved. The Bible is clear on that. But let me just say this to you. If you can't make it, if you can't make the commitment to Jesus, if you can't repent of your sins, change the way you live, live to His glory and honor, if you can't do that now, when there is such freedom, when you have such love from these saints of God here to support you and be with you, how in the world do you think you're going to do it when each and every moment of your life will be threatened with death? How will you live for Jesus then? You say, well, I'm tough. Well, aren't you tough now? Do you think you're going to be any different? So I encourage you, it will be sad. But please listen to this old preacher. You can't get ready right now. Do you hear me? We can settle that doubt, that fear. We can settle it right now. By you simply, when we come, well, you don't have to wait when we come to the end of the service. You can do it right now where you sit. Just simply repent. Accept Jesus. Believe in Him. And the Bible says you'll be saved. You know, I look forward to the rapture. I've talked a lot about this. It'll be a time of freedom for me. I'll simply leave this old world with its problems, sin, and death behind. And I'll ascend to heaven where I'll enjoy the presence of the Lord. Now that great event, when the rapture comes and we'll be caught up together, all of us, and you see me and I see you, I know what you're going to be thinking, because I've told you. You'll be saying, you know what, that old brother Art's flying finally last. He is doing his Superman thing right now. But guess what? So will you. Amen. You're going to be defying gravity that's held us down for so long. And you'll be ascending to be with Jesus. I don't know anything wrong with that. I don't know how people find something bad about that. Because we will be with the Lord forever and ever.